Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, channel 141, 96.3, HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. As we said earlier in the newscast, had some severe weather moving from west to east. A tornado warning has been dropped now for southeastern Washington County in Maryland and central Jefferson County in the panhandle of West Virginia. However, we still have some rather severe weather moving across western Maryland. Nothing that we can see that is going to be impacting the immediate DMV area. If that changes, we will keep you posted. Now, most of us would not be in the positive places in our lives that we are right now without the passionate input of a teacher. This is National Teacher Appreciation Week, and we are doing just that as we discuss how they were able to keep it together for the past year or so. We're also going to talk about what they want parents to know as this new normal presents new challenges this fall. My guests are Melanie Seabrooks, pre-K teacher with DC Scholars Public Charter School, and Austin Wetherington, third grade teacher with Bishop Walker School for Boys. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you want to shout out a teacher briefly, we certainly welcome your phone calls tonight at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Melanie, Austin, thank you both for joining the conversation.
Thank you for having
us.
Absolutely. So let me start with you, Melanie. You teach pre-K.
Yes.
My goodness. Pre-K can only be a bit of a challenge in person. How did you hold it together teaching pre-K in the midst of the pandemic over the past year or so?
Well, it has definitely been a learning curve for sure. I think with the help of the parents and families, it really has just been all hands on deck situation. We are learning as we go, and I was a little reserved on whether how well it would work. But families are really, really invested in their children's education. They're showing up for our live sessions. We're actually able to keep students engaged. Four-year-olds are tuning in, sitting, listening, engaging with us back and forth. And they actually know more about technology than we do sometimes. So it has been very interesting. They keep us on our toes, but we're making it happen.
So give me an example of how that works. I had a four-year-old once. And having her sit still for anything other than bananas in pajamas or something else that was on television was just really difficult. So how did you do that? Talk to me about what that was like.
So we spent a lot of time in the beginning of the year setting up our expectations, really investing with them, getting to know them, letting them get to know us. And so it's really the relationship building that has been a driving force. Once the kids were excited to see us, then we were able to move into the cognitive work that we had to do. A lot of pre-K is social interactions. And so understanding that the teachers are really, really working hard to build those relationships. And I think that's just the key, is you just have to get them invested, get them wanting to see you, wanting to, you know, give you information, and you guys share information back and forth. It's been a lot of science experiments, videos, dancing. We have a lot of fun.
Yeah, fun being the operative word. Austin, your students were a little bit older, third grade, but certainly just as active and presenting their own series of challenges. What was it like with you? Talk about some of the wins with these third graders.
Well, you know, in third grade, there's a big push for independence because they are leaving kind of the early elementary stage and going into, you know, what we would call upper elementary. So I would say the big wins or the big challenge, which turned into some wins this year, is really learning how to be responsible. Kids, you know, had to essentially log themselves into their computers, make sure they checked after their work, because their parents were either, you know, essential workers and had to go in, or their parents were on a computer themselves. So the kids had to definitely prioritize their work in a way that they probably never have in their lives or anything else for that matter. So it was a teachable moment for teachers to try to get them to be independent via the computer, but also just like thinking, the thinking work that goes into like the daily things that you have to do in order to, you know, be a successful student, which, you know, the average student kind of gets handheld and until they're a little bit later in elementary. But this year, they were forced to learn that a little bit earlier.
Did that work for them? Did they take? Okay. Well, there's my answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I mean, I think, you know, in all seriousness, that move for independence may have worked in their favor, right? Yes, no.
I think for the teachers, you know, I was told when I first got into instructing, the things that are the hardest for you are the things that you really want to learn how to teach. And you know, with you find that the academic stuff is hard, but it's not harder than the skill work, you know, like the character skill work. So I think we've been fighting with that, just pushing students to want to be more independent, more responsible over their things, because, you know, things like, hey, my internet's going out, but it's not really going out, right? Or you know, I didn't see that assignment, but the assignment is in the same place it is every day. So, you know, just kind of having to battle through that, but also having to work in concert with parents on them being responsible as well, them doing the work of making sure that their child is logged on and checking after their assignments and their attendance and being engaged and things like that. So yeah, that has been a big curve, I think, for all of us.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are in the midst of Teacher Appreciation Week, kind of shouting out teachers who have, in many cases, done incredible work in the midst of the pandemic, but also looking forward to what parents need to know, what parents need to do to help them be even better teachers during this new normal. If you have a comment or you want to shout out a teacher who is doing particularly well, has done a great job with your children or with you as a parent, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What, Melanie, is your message to teachers who have been, like yourself, having to regroup, reorganize, relearn, re-understand the process of being a teacher?
Well, I mean, I have been teaching. This is my 26th year of teaching. So to say that this is all brand new to me is an understatement. So it's really been a lot of research in unorthodox methods. So a lot of things I've learned from TikTok. I've learned from Facebook, Instagram. But that kind of just speaks to the larger community of teachers and how we are helping each other. I am able to connect with more teachers than I ever have before. And so things that are working for them, I can then take and adapt it and use it in my own classroom. So that's something that's a positive thing that has kind of come out of this, is that we're kind of banding together, because it's really been a struggle to kind of get our footing. And so it's like, you know, we're not recreating the wheel. We can take it and add our own personality to it. But even things that a third grade teacher might be doing, I may be able to adapt and use with my students. Another thing that is just so important now is teacher mental health. And I think that that's not really talked about that much. But it's very difficult from being in the classroom. I honestly miss my kids. I miss them. I miss seeing them. And so, and I've been doing this for so long. So I just have to make sure that I'm, you know, taking care of myself so that I can be the best for my students. So I think that's a really important thing for teachers in this current situation.
Well, let's talk about that, Austin. You had a, you know, a grunt of approval. Your thoughts about that?
Oh yeah, I think she hit the nail on the head when she's talking about things that you can kind of take from other teachers. I know for myself, one of the biggest challenges was trying to be engaging on the computer and trying to hold an hour lesson, you know, and knowing, you know, when to take breaks and knowing kind of what breaks to do, knowing how much time. So I think all those things I kind of learned on the fly, but I did do a great job of talking with some of the administrators and also some of the other teachers about what in my teacher network, about like what things were working for them, as she said. And I think I found my groove, but we have a hybrid model now. So I do have some students who are back in the classroom as of the last 2.5 weeks, which has been very helpful. So I kind of have half of my class online and half of my class.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, National Teacher Appreciation Week, and we are appreciating teachers and the work that they've been doing over the past year or so and what's ahead for them. If you have a comment, question, shout out to a teacher that you think has been particularly special over the past 14 or 15 months, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Raynell, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Raynell. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Yes, I just would like to add a shout-out to my sister, Tricia Bowling, who teaches in PG County and have been teaching for over some years now between the districts and back to PG County. However, you know, for us all working through this pandemic, parents, the student, and not just because she's my sister that I'm giving her the shout out, but because I know the love and the struggles that she's gone through this time and not wanting to give up, you know, and being determined to not see her kids fail is what I love about her. But I also want to give a shout out to, you know, the teachers at Two Rivers, where my son attends, because they have been very, very supportive throughout this whole pandemic. It's just a daily, constant struggle for us all. And I telecommunicate from home with my job, but it's a struggle.
Yeah.
And it takes a whole lot, and I think it takes a village. You know,
indeed it does. Right now, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. What, Austin, would you say is your biggest accomplishment with the students over the past year?
You know, Harold, I have to shout out a parent today because it was Teacher Appreciation Week, and I received a very warm note from a parent saying that they just really enjoyed the fact that I was prioritized still making learning fun when it was online. So, you know, just having a parent give me that type of feedback went a long way. So I would say that I think that was my biggest win, was maintaining a sense of my normal classroom, you know, culture and my normal classroom personality, where kids were still learning, but yet we were having fun and they wanted to show up. We have, shout out to Ms. Knight, we have like 98% attendance. So I think the engagement and the attendance was probably my biggest win this year, because I did not struggle with those two things.
What about you, Melanie?
I was going to say some of the same things. Attendance, I think, is a big win for me. With ECE, you know, we depend solely on parents to get their kids on and stay during our sessions. And our parents have been there. They've been showing up. They've been like, oh, we got our assignments in, you know, they have assignments to do, and we try to keep them fun. And then because we have the attendance numbers that we do, our children are experiencing a lot of growth. So we're able to actually see that we're able to give them content, and they're just eating it up. Like, they are reading, you know, my four-year-olds. I have several four-year-olds who are reading at this point. So I'm just really proud of them. I'm proud of the work that the parents are doing with them and how invested they are. We've already started to receive some teacher appreciation gifts this week. And so we know that they appreciate the hard work that we do, and we appreciate them as well.
Definitely want to hear about those teacher appreciation gifts. You know, those Starbucks gift cards, let me tell you. I know, look, and I'm serious. I definitely want to hear about those gifts and the kinds of things that parents are doing. Also, we want to remind our listeners that we are going to continue this conversation in just a bit. So, Ms. Robinson, who is calling from D.C., do not hang up, because we're going to talk to you next. And we want to remind you that you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com after 9 o'clock, or you can download the 96.3 HD2 app on your smartphone and hear the program live in its entirety. Stay with us. If you're on the phone, the Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we are looking at teachers and the job that they are doing during Teacher Appreciation Week, what they've been doing for the past year or so in the midst of the pandemic, some of the challenges, some of the victories. And if you want to shout out a teacher, if you have a comment, if you have a question for our guests, please give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. My guests are Austin Weatherington, third grade teacher with Bishop Walker School for Boys, and Melanie Seabrooks, pre-K teacher with D.C. Scholars Public Charter School. Let me go to the phone lines. Ms. Robinson, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Hi, I'm just calling. I just want to give a shout out to a couple of teachers over there at Turner Elementary over off on 4th Street over there in Southeast. They have so much. One name is Miss Page, and the other teacher name is Miss Gourbet. I sat back, and sometimes they don't acknowledge and know that I'm even in the background, you know, and they don't even know that I'm there. But the way that they take and teach those children with the patience, the love, the understanding, I got a gift for them that's a surprise they're not going to possibly believe.
Ooh,
thank you so much. They are so appreciated. Yeah, it's got to give back to them, because they put a lot into those students. And those students, even when the students are struggling, they take time and say, well, wait a minute, babe. You know, let's see if we can go back and try to show you this way. Kind of, I mean, I'm talking about, I've listened to all seven of my son's teachers, but those two, they have patience. They're not talking to them in a harsh way. They have a lot of patience and understanding with the students, and the students are really, really learning. They're definitely gonna have some lawyers and doctors coming up out of Turner Elementary.
Okay. Well, Ms. Robinson, thank you so much for sharing with us, and we appreciate your love and enthusiasm, and I'm quite sure that the teachers appreciate it. Thank you so much for your phone call.
Have a great day.
You too. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Okay, so let us talk about these gifts, first of all. What is the most unusual thing, Melanie, that you've received?
I came from the child care setting. I was a teacher for many years in child care. And one year they asked parents to write us letters. And one of the parents was a poet, and he wrote a poem for us, and it was really sweet.
Oh, wow. That's great. What about you, Austin?
Well, I'm going to actually just finished it. So it's unusual in a good way. But I talk about kind of my life a lot and talk about the things that I like to eat. And a parent overheard me say that I really am a big fan of lasagna. So today I received a nice week's worth of lasagna.
A week's worth.
So it was unusual in a great way. So, I would say that was probably the most unusual one.
Was it good?
Man, it was delicious. I had to go back for a second. So, I'm not used to getting those type of gifts. So, I want to keep those coming.
Well, there you go. I like that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Denard calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Is that my student?
And
Miss Seabrook.
And Miss Jennifer.
And Miss Jennifer.
Oh.
Yes.
I miss you. Hi, Denard.
Hi.
Denard, what's going on? How's school?
Huh?
How is school?
How's school?
Good.
It's good. How's Miss Seabrooks?
Huh? How's Miss Seabrooks? Good. Excellent.
Excellent.
Well, there's an A in the works.
Extra credit.
Right, exactly. Extra credit. Denard, thank you for calling, and that person in the background that you're probably taking care of, thank you for calling them as well.
Thanks, Mom.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye. Okay, so, Melanie, there you go. There's yet another gift, another surprise.
Yes, that was so sweet.
That is awesome. That's awesome.
So let's talk about some other issues, too, because, Austin, you said that you're in a hybrid situation. Some of the kids are in the classroom. Some are not. How does it feel going back to school?
I was really disenchanted with the way that it became a political issue in the country and how a lot of people, and I mean, this is just me as a person, how I felt like a lot of, there was just a lot of dissent. And I didn't think it had to be that way. If we're a country and we want to be somewhat united, obviously, COVID has been devastating for all of us, but I didn't like schools being demonized from trying to go back, and I didn't like people feeling shame or guilt because they wanted to send their kids back. It just felt like a super, politicized issue. So what our school did was, I think they did they did an appropriate thing in taking a survey. They took a survey, both parents, anonymous surveys, both parents and teachers and staff and students, so that they tried to get everyone's input before they came back. And it was very calculated. It was over the span of 3 to 4 months. So just kind of like checking in, having town halls, doing all these things. So when we came back to school, it kind of already felt like we were back before, because we were really prepping months in advance. So now that we're back, everybody's kind of, it doesn't feel odd at all. It's kind of like, okay, the day has finally come. We're going to give it a shot. We COVID test once a week in the building. So I think, people feel very comfortable, or at least they're satisfied with trying to come back. And we've been back for about 3 weeks now.
What about you, Melanie? Any reservations, concerns going back?
Well, I think, like Austin and my school has done a really good job with taking a pulse of our families and our teachers, our students, lots of surveys, and we're really trying to do what's best for all parties involved. Our principal, Mr. Imperator, he's really listening and trying his best to make good choices for our student body. We are planning to go back at the next school year. So right now we have a few grades that are hybrid, but for the most part we're virtual still. And we want to get it right. Like, it's too important to make mistakes. So I hear all the good things that is happening that are happening at your school, and we want to do those same things. So we're just in the preparation stages right now, getting our plan solid so that when we go back, we are doing what's best.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Javon, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
How you doing? I just wanted to give a shout-out
sure.
to Ms. Reynolds. We work at Malcolm X Elementary School, and we actually had the task of going back early. And, you know, I appreciate her commitment. She helped with my mindset of coming back early, and I just really appreciate having someone like that in my corner.
Well, how has it been for you?
Honestly, with a little bit of kids, I don't see a need for us to be back. But at the same time, the kids coming back was a normalcy for me. Just misinteracting with the kids. I'm a behavior tech, so it's hard to do that from home. So just being back to a little bit of normalcy helps.
Yeah. Well, Javon, thank you for your phone call, and thank you for the work that you are doing. And hang in there. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank you very much. 202-319-7810. 7810. 202-319-7810. In the beginning of the pandemic, and there was just, you know, a big scramble to make sure that the technology was in place. It's been more than a year now. Austin, from the perspective of supplies, technology, what can be done better now? What would you like to see, even in a hybrid structure? What do you need?
Wow, that's a great question. I think that it helps that most curriculums have digital versions. So whatever, you know, whatever book or whatever resource that we're using in class, the kids can access online. So I think in the event that people are virtual learning for longer, we've had a lot of microphone issues. I don't know what could be done about that, but maybe, you know, some microphone issues, maybe new laptops. I say that hesitantly because I haven't had any real problems with it, but, you know, in the event that this continues to go on for longer, maybe the school may want to invest in new laptops. Our science department does a great job of mailing kids things and giving kids things. So I want to say we get an A on the resource thing. I think that more than anything, the school's got that right, you know, or at least my school got that right. You know, they did a great job of kind of thinking ahead and making sure we had all the supplies we needed.
Melanie, what do you think?
I think we're doing a lot. So, of course, everyone has technology. You know, we're in ECE, so our students have tablets, so that makes it a little more difficult. Sometimes getting apps and things on tablets, you know. So just we may need more space because we do a lot with our kids, lots of videos and things like that. But I agree that having virtual options for a lot of the curriculum, we as teachers are recording ourselves on YouTube, you know, making YouTube videos, recording ourselves in our Zoom sessions. So having access to those portals and things like that are super important. I think in the beginning, the city was offering internet access,
yes.
Wi-Fi to families, but that was only for a limited time. And I teach in Northeast, and Southeast, so we're right on the line. And so a lot of families don't have access. And so maybe continuing that practice of giving Wi-Fi so that everyone continues to have that opportunity. because that's been a real challenge for some of our families, just being able to log on and having access.
Melanie, you, how long have you been teaching?
26 years. This is year 26.
So,
wow.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, okay. Congratulations for surviving 26 years.
And the kids have survived you as well. So.
Right, right. They're not going too shabby.
Yeah. So, but here's my question. What metrics do you use now to measure whether or not these very young students of yours are learning compared to when you would see them in class pre-pandemic?
So I don't know if this is unfortunate or fortunate, but we still do assess our babies. And so it's not testing in that sense, it's assessment. So we just want to see where they are, what they've learned, what they're grasping, and then that better informs us of what we need to continue to push or teach. And we're actually starting our assessment schedule this for the month of May. We're going to be assessing all month. And so we are still doing a lot of the things that we were doing in person. The main difference is that in person, you have more anecdotal action. Like you can see what they're doing because a lot of learning happens in creative spaces. So when they're in centers, when they're playing with their friends, we're seeing them put in practice the things that we've taught them. So we're missing that piece, but we've been able to create a lot of fun activities where so we just had some science projects that they did and they recorded themselves so we can see that they're picking up the information that we're teaching them, even though we're virtual.
So. Mm. And what about you, Austin? Same question.
You know, Harold, I have to be honest. I think that is an excellent question. And I think that that is a question that, like, parents, students, schools, everyone should be asking themselves, like, how do you know, these kids are learning? To date, most schools use the standardized test as the main metric, you know, and the school that I was at last year actually canceled standardized testing for that for last year because they just didn't think it was fair. This year, we're back to standardized testing. So I guess to give you an answer, and like hard data, it would be standardized testing.
Yeah.
You know, it would be just kind of proportionate to where we are. But, you know, we had the whole year to kind of prepare. So whatever my data looks like at the end of the year, you know, I'm going to take a hard look at that. But when it comes to some of the, you know, some of the observable things, you know, I've really been trying to check after, again, their independence. Like at this point of our class, nothing really has changed in terms of our routine. So kids just really being proactive, getting themselves in the routine, turning in assignments.
Yeah.
You know, that's been a big thing of mine is like, please, let's try to have the highest turn-in percentage daily as possible. You know, so they usually know what to expect, and I expect them to do it. So the turn-in percentage is kind of my observable thing. On like, okay, our kids getting it. Is it complete when they turn it in? And, you know, those type of things.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about what you want parents to know, how parents can help you. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Teacher Appreciation Week. We'll be back in a bit.
There are a ton of social networking websites, but one stands apart for a very special reason. This one saves lives. It's MatchingDonors.com. MatchingDonors.com links organ donors with people in need of kidney and other transplants. In the U.S., 22 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. If you've ever considered becoming a living organ donor, or if you're someone in need of an organ transplant, visit MatchingDonors.com, home of the greatest gift of all, the gift of life. MatchingDonors.com.
My stomach issues make me want to stay home. But that's not an option. No matter how prepared I am, I still feel nervous. Enough is enough.
If this sounds familiar, The Crohn's and Colitis Foundation can offer you support and connect you with a specialist.
Don't keep your symptoms to yourself. Get help at spillyourguts.org today.
Did you know 22 Americans die each day waiting for organ transplants, most of them for kidneys? The good news is that MatchingDonors.com is helping to change that. MatchingDonors.com is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that links organ donors with people in desperate need of kidneys and other transplants. And now you don't need to donate a kidney to save a life. You can donate your boat, car, or real estate, with 100% of the proceeds going to help save the lives of people needing organ transplants. Visit MatchingDonors.com or call 800-385-0422.
This is Tommy Davidson, resident Washingtonian, and the Quiet Storm meant that I was in the eye of a phenomenon of music and culture that came from my city. Uninterrupted, beautiful music, and you can feel good vibrations come out of that radio.
Soft and warm, a quiet storm, quiet and when flowers talk.
Hi, I'm Javon Harley, your travel pro with the Traveling Culturati, exclusively on HUR Voices. Join me every Saturday at noon Eastern Time for the style and culture of travel. Join Club Culturati and connect with me on social media at travelingculturati.com.
Welcome to the Orphan Diaries. Here's the founder of Food for Orphans, Gary Van Dyke.
Ken doesn't know how old he is. He guesses at around 7. His whole life has been centered on finding food. You see, he lives at a dump and he's never been anywhere else. You can find Ken walking in a decaying landfill of rotting garbage, plastic bags, and shards of broken glass. To many, Ken and children like him are invisible. But they're not, are they?
For more information, visit www.foodfororphans.org.
We've always had villains to face.
Bad guys to take down.
But you?
You are the most horrible of all.
We're not here because we have to be.
We're here because we've had enough of you.
We all have the power to do something.
To stand up to cancer.
Every single one of us is mortal.
But inside of us, we're all heroes.
So stand up with us.
Stand up to fight.
Stand up to cancer. Visit standuptocancer.org to learn more.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. We continue our conversation about Teacher Appreciation Week and shouting out teachers for the work that they've been doing in the midst of the pandemic. Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Miss Morton calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hello, this is Miss Morton, and Isaiah would like to say something.
Oh, I love it.
Hello.
Hello.
Isaiah, say something. Hi, Miss Jennifer and Miss Seabrook. We appreciate all you do. Isaiah's just smiling, that's all. Bye-bye.
Well, you know, a smile is great. Well, see, there you go. So, Austin, what's wrong with your students? How come they're not calling?
I know. This is not looking well for me.
No, it really is. You're going to have to step your game up.
I'm going to have to step it up, bro. Yeah.
26 years, you know what I mean?
I had to take some recess away today, Harold, so I might not have a lot of fans today. I had to take some away.
Yeah, that's right. And look, you know, Melanie, we may need to check who really wrote that thank you note and sent that lasagna.
Yeah, I know, right?
Austin may have been in a Betty Crocker cookbook. So let's talk a bit about parents during this time. What, Melanie, do you want parents to know? Or what is the message that you have for them that you've had a chance to formulate over the past 13 months or so?
So I'm really proud of my parents. Parents, I think, as a teacher, I understand how difficult it is. And a lot of my teacher friends are also parents. So their kids are in school. And so we have a hard time. But The parents have a lot on their plates as well. And so the fact that they show up, and they show out for our kids. And so I just want to give them encouragement and let them know that, you know, this is new for you. Like, having their kids at home 24 hours a day, it's not easy having a four-year-old in the home. And so I am just always trying to encourage my families because, you know, some of them have even expressed how, you know, how challenging that it is. And they come and ask for, you know, tips and help. But they're really doing a great job. So I just want them to stay encouraged. I know it's been a long year. And, you know, some of them are, we struggle to reach them sometimes because as the year has gone on, it just, you know, it gets just hard.
Melanie?
We're almost there.
Yeah, go right ahead. I think you dropped out. You said they show up and show out. Give me an example.
Yeah, so we actually, so in my class, we give out dojo points for students who complete assignments and show up to the live sessions. And so we have what we call our PATH winners. Those are our scholars who are professional, attentive, thoughtful, and hardworking. They're on the PATH to kindergarten. And so we reward them with, we've had a cooking demo on Zoom. We've had a science experiment on Zoom. We've had a movie night. And so many of our students have gotten to participate because they come, they participate, they do their work, they do extra credit. They've come to the school to pick up. We did a party pack where we gave out like popcorn. So they came, got their popcorn, and then we watched a movie together. So that's just one of the rewards that we do because we see how hard they work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the family, it's the moms, the dads, grandmas, aunties, babysitters. We have some of our students who are in daycare, but they still want them to get access to our curriculum. So the daycare centers are logging them on. So it's really just a family of people who are all working together to make sure that our students don't miss out.
Austin, how have parents shown up for you and your students?
Well, I think they've done a great job. First and foremost, we have, progress reports and trimester meetings with all parents where, you know, I've been very, very visible. They've been very visible. We have kind of a daily attendance kind of report where my teacher's assistant checks in with them. So I think the parents have shown that they are able to adjust and adapt just like the parents. But also it's hard, you know, and I think you have to give some grace because we have run into some challenges, right? We have run into parents who are working or maybe parents who have to leave their kids with an older sibling because they're, you know, because they have to do something outside of the house. So, you know, the 24/7 caretaking of a child and the parents being on top of that, I think really has presented a lot of challenges for many of our parents, especially when at the beginning where, you know, they weren't off of work yet, you know, and they still had to go in every day. So we've had to show each other some grace because like as a teacher who this is my job, that's one thing, but that isn't their job. They're adjusting to a new role. You know, they're adjusting to now either being at home or having to be present so that your kid is learning. And I think a lot of parents felt the growing pain of like, hey, engaging a child is difficult. And making sure that a kid stays in front of their computer and is participating has been a challenge for us all.
Melanie, going forward, as you look toward the fall, how can parents help? How can they be better in helping you do your job?
Well, as far as coming back in the building, I mean, with little ones, it's just going to be a lot of conversation, talking about, you know, health and safety, keeping the mask on. You know, my teacher friends, we joke all the time about they may come in a Batman mask and leave and with a totally different mask. And so we just want to make sure that they're being safe. So just talking to your kids about, you know, what's going on. It's a big issue. So we understand that may be hard for our little ones to understand. So it's just going to take all of us kind of reinforcing those behaviors for them to become consistent. And then grace, as Austin said, just, you know, both of us allowing grace for the growing pains of what being back in the building looks like for little ones. A lot of schools is sharing and being in each other's space. And so it's going to look very different when we go back. So.
And Austin, final word from you. How can parents help you do your job better?
I think the biggest thing is just presence, being present. You know, being able to be responsive and present is probably the number one thing that I can ask for. You know, so as long as I can have a relationship with a parent where that dynamic exists, I think I can work with the rest.
Well, there you go. Well said. And, you know, we certainly salute both of you during Teacher Appreciation Week. Teachers, you know, like Melanie said earlier, have shown up and shown out. It has been a struggle. It has been difficult. We're all in this together, even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it. But this is something that I think in the years to come, children will remember the Austin Wetheringtons and the Melanie Seabrook. So again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right. That is the Daily Drum for this Monday, April 3rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.